Hey there, educators, parents, and all lovers of computer science. Welcome to the Code Monkey Banana Cast, where we talk about the important issues you care about, from ed tech, STEM education, reducing your teacher workload, being a working parent, and all that goes along with that. Code Monkey is an award-winning K-8 curriculum here to make learning computer science a blast for kids everywhere. So let's swing into this adventure together and talk about the stuff that matters. Hey everyone, I'm Karen, your host. And today I'm super excited to talk to Jonathan Shore. He is the co-founder and CEO of Code Monkey. I'll be asking some interesting questions about heading an ed tech company too. So stay tuned for those interesting questions. And hi, Jonathan, how are you?
Good, how are you, Karen?
Good. Could you share with us how you first learned to code and maybe how that inspired you to start Code Monkey?
Definitely. So the way I have learned to code, I think I was around 9 years old. Me and Ido, my co-founder at Code Monkey, we're brothers. We grew up in this type of home where both our parents were software engineers. So growing up with the first Apple computers around, when personal computers were still not that common. So we had this amazing natural opportunity to be exposed to coding very early on in our lives. And specifically, I remember my mother signing up to this one sort of those like coding boot camps for kids, a summer camp where she was working in the Haifa University. And over there, we've been taught coding through MIT's Logo programming language for children. There was like a little triangle on the black and white screen that you coded to draw lines using later loops and variables and functions to create more complex drawings. That was my first, I think, official coding course. Yeah.
Cool. So early on, how old were you? What you think when you started?
I think this coding summer class, it was when I was 9 or 10.
Oh, wow. Okay. And you told me a little bit about your experience hosting coding courses. So did that ultimately lead to the creation of Code Monkey?
Definitely, yes. A year after graduating high school, before going to university, I had the experience of living and working in, it's called a kibbutz, like an urban community of educators in a development town. And I was working in a school, an elementary school, with mainly children of the families who recently immigrated from the former Soviet Union countries. And in the afternoons, I started my own classes of coding for kids based on the same programming language that I've used to learn, Logo from MIT, 10 years before that. But this time I was using small games to teach kids how to code. Before each class, I created a small puzzle or a small tiny game that they had to win or like progress in the game through writing simple lines of code. So that was my first experience of teaching kids to code. And that was also the inspiration for Code Monkey, using game-based learning for computer science education.
Cool. And you told me something about goats. Something about one of your variety of experiences in life. Can you tell me a little bit more about some of the interesting things you did before you actually started Code Monkey?
Sure. This thing with the goat. We grew up in this home, both our parents were like tech entrepreneurs in the software space. So I always knew that I'm going to study computer science in the Israel Institute of Technology and that I'll probably do something with tech for a living. But then I had this experience of working with children in education. It was really life-changing, and I was trying to start this company of creating online coding games for kids, but it was just too early when I graduated from university. There was, I think, 2006 or 7. I tried to start a company with a friend of mine, Ishai, who later also became a co-founder of Code Monkey, but it was too early. Like, people teaching kids to code wasn't a big thing still back then. So we tried for a whole year. We failed. 2008 came, which was also like this big financial crunch in the United States. So it wasn't a good time to insist. So then,
how did you overcome those doubts? Did you want to just give up? How did you inspire yourself to keep going?
A good question. So my partner, Ishai, has also been like my best friend. We grew up together from first grade, like coding together as kids and playing computer games and doing math and all those things that we liked. When we started it, he said, okay, let's try. Let's give it like 1 year, 12 months, see if it takes off or not. He's this more like risk adverse person, I guess. So he had to like, you know,
limit.
Yeah, exactly. So it was thanks to him that after 12 months, we decided to move on. One of the things that led to the GOATS experience, because then I had my degree in computer science. I was working as a software engineer, but I had this more recent passion for education. I couldn't find a way to combine both of those things, but I kept a job of software engineering, a part-time job, and then also product management and leading software teams and managing software products. But I was starting all kind of nonprofit education ventures parallel to that. The most recent one was this goat farm, which was actually a place to work with children that had like severe emotional issues. They would come and just work with us in this farm. But it was a real dairy farm. Like we milked the goats. We created like all kind of dairy products and sold them. And we were walking the goats like every day for 5 hours in the forest. It's cool.
That's good. It's good to do other things. Even something like farming probably gave you some experience to help you. I don't know what that is.
It did. Yeah.
Yeah. So once you started the beginnings of CodeMonkey, did you feel like there was something missing from coding education that you wanted to fill in?
Yeah. So my experience starting those coding courses for kids, that giving these very simple, like small games, coding games, like I was amazed by how fast kids learn. Something that back then was considered like very abstract and hard to understand. The year was 2001, I think. Once you make it sort of, you enable this experience, and it's really not that complicated to do it, then many children, if not all of them, can very easily grasp those abstract concepts. They can even almost do it on themselves, on their own, given the right interactive online content. So the vision was to enable this experience online and make it accessible to children all over the world, even in places where there are no computer science teachers available in elementary schools, and children that didn't have this opportunity to grow up in a home where, you know, both parents are in tech. So really just to enable this experience for children everywhere.
And how do you get them to stick with it? Because, you know, like any game, even if it's just a game and not a learning game, engagement is key. So what does CodeMonkey do to make them stay motivated?
So there are two aspects to that. That's a very important question, like long-term engagement. So one part is what we try to do at CodeMonkey. We do our best to support that engagement, long-term engagement. And the way we do it at CodeMonkey is by providing this consistent game world and game experience with consistent theme of animals and the same character that hopefully you get attached to in a storyline with a villain and all of the classic methods to create long-term engagement to in gaming. But we found out after starting CodeMonkey that this is not enough. And in order to really keep the children on board through the more difficult stages of learning, when it gets to functions or other computer science concepts that are a bit more difficult to comprehend, it is key to have either a parent or a teacher around to provide that emotional push, or I don't know, or like this, yeah, because eventually, you know, we're social creatures and we need to climb this deeper obstacle. I think the motivation, it has to be also social. It can be provided also by peers, you know, other students in the classroom, but in order to maintain this, I think, steady environment of group of children learning and overcoming obstacles, even when it comes a little bit harder, you need adults to create these settings and stabilize it. So we've learned there's a lot we can do with game design to help the engagement, but eventually also the responsibility of the adults around the learner, the children, to create this supporting environment, a steady supporting environment.
And I like what we're doing now with the Discover profile, where the kids are a little bit more involved, like how many likes did I get, you know, on their game creations, and they can share and be a little bit, it's important.
Yeah. And that's also a social motivation. Yeah, I think that's key.
So now turning it to a little bit more personal questions. Besides goat farming, if you were in leading CodeMonkey, what would you be doing?
Oh, that's a hard question. I don't know. I was very passionate about math. Like probably I would enjoy doing something with that. But then also math is very theoretical, and I do enjoy having impact, the world around me, like direct impact. So I don't know, maybe I would be teaching math.
But are you happy what you chose in the end? Are you glad that you're doing what you're doing?
Yeah, CodeMonkey is perfect for me. It's like combining both my passions for having this social impact, but also being creative with technology and science. Yeah.
As CEO, what would you say is your biggest ongoing challenges?
Biggest ongoing challenges as CEO of CodeMonkey, I would say it's also goes back, funny, to the same challenge in education of creating this long-term engagement. But this time, I'm talking about engagement of the people working with me and even myself. We've been doing CodeMonkey now for 10 years almost, and it's a long haul, and it's a slow process of creating this transformation in public education systems. And there was this big hype of teaching kids to code when we started CodeMonkey. The hype moves on, and now people are excited about different things, but we still need to stay like focused and engaged with this same mission now for a decade and more decades, I hope, in the future. So, and evolve, the main challenge is to keep this excitement alive for the long term, keep the people motivated, focused on the same task, finding new challenges within this scope of what we're doing, and evolve, yeah.
Okay. Beyond your professional life, what hobbies and activities do you enjoy that help you recharge and stay balanced? I know you do a couple of things.
I do a couple of things. Well, sports is important. I found that sport became from a hobby to something that like I have to do every week, like several times to keep energy levels high. So I swim and play tennis. I snowboard when I can, like in the winter. Music is important. We're playing tonight, actually, me and Ido and cool. Some other people that we used to play music with before we started CodeMonkey. So we're trying to relaunch that now.
It's important.
Yeah, I would say sport and music and friends, keeping like a small group of very close friends really helps going through challenges in life. So this is very important to me, my friendships, my relationship with my close friends.
If you're balanced in your personal life, you can be balanced at work.
Yeah.
Nobody wants grumpy Karen that didn't work out for 2 weeks coming to work. Oh, it really does. Especially when you are doing something like sitting at a computer and coding I do marketing. Yeah, you need those outlets too.
Definitely.
And last question, looking back, what advice would you give to your younger self for your future path as an entrepreneur?
What advice would I give to my younger self as an entrepreneur? So it's about like, I think what you asked now, it's about, I would say, watching out, like keeping this balance in life. I think I wasn't aware of that when starting CodeMonkey. Like I was so happy that, you know, finally I felt like the timing is right to start CodeMonkey, and everyone that are now interested about this idea that I had. And it's going on, it's working so well. I became so excited with it that you lose this balance. And I didn't remember, I became so enthusiastic with CodeMonkey and I forgot about those other aspects in my life, personal life, social life, family, sports, hobbies. And I didn't make sure to keep investing in those things to stay balanced. Luckily, we were successful quickly enough with CodeMonkey and the company got acquired just 4 years after we started it. So it allowed me, maybe 5 years after we started it, allowed me to reconnect with all the other aspects in my life and rebalance. But yeah, if I could give an advice to my younger self, it would be like not to lose this balance in the first place.
Yeah, super important. Do you think we're building future leaders at CodeMonkey with our
Definitely. Platform? Yeah, it's exciting.
That's the whole point,
one
right?
of the yeah, and one of the benefits of doing it like for 10 years now, I actually run into people that are now working in tech. Remember CodeMonkey giving them their first experience with coding. So that's very exciting. I don't know about leaders, like maybe it's too early, but definitely we've inspired people into tech careers, children. And I think also the story of CodeMonkey, you know, here in Tel Aviv, it was a very outstanding success, maybe like the first big success in the field for a startup in the field of education technologies. So I think we've inspired entrepreneurs. This way, definitely, I have a lot of edtech entrepreneurs coming to talk with me, visiting the CodeMonkey office and asking for advice. And definitely CodeMonkey's success as a startup inspired them to go on their own edtech ventures.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much, Jonathan. You are amazing. You gave some really good advice and interesting backstory of how things that I never heard before and our listeners will probably learn from. So thank you for being the most amazing guest and our first guest on the Code Monkey Banana Fast.
Sure.
And come back again. It would be great. You wrote a great article about ChatGPT and AI, and does that make coding obsolete? So I'd like to talk to you actually on the podcast about that, because that's really interesting to people. So we can talk about that another time.
Sure.
And if anyone has topics you would like to explore in future episodes or would like to be a guest, just tag us at CodeMonkey STU, that's CodeMonkey Studios, with your message on Twitter, X, or any other platform that we have, and I'll respond to you. Subscribe, share, all that good stuff. And don't forget, say it with me, Jonathan.
Write code, catch bananas,
save the world.
Thank you, Karen.